Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 19, Madhya Leela, Lord Chaitanya instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Yeah. So now he's been describing the various rasas, right? And then or the ratis that they have, and how they are relating to the Lord. So we see in Shantaras that there's appreciation of the Lord as a person, but how he's spreading through everything, how he's the absolute truth.
Yes.
That aspect. Yes. You know, so, yeah, that's the main feature that's there. And so it's not about rendering service on the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform, but they have no interest in the material.
Yes.
So they feel the ecstasy of bhava. You know, that absorption in the Lord. They have love for the Lord, but it's about that appreciation. So it's from that aspect of the understanding of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, and how like that. Well, then in the Dasyarati, then there's an appreciation of the localized aspect. In other words, it's more about Paramatma feature. Mm-hmm. And how he's creating everything, controlling everything, everything's like that. And so that sense of subordination, mm-hmm. that is there, and they want to render service, mm-hmm. right? And so in this way, then Prabhupada's pointing out, so this then is on the spiritual platform, because now they're doing a positive service. Well, Shantarati, it's not on the material, but it's not on the spiritual either, in that it's neutral, mm-hmm. and that they're appreciating the Lord, but it's in love of God, mm-hmm. like that. So it's different than just being Tathasta. You know, just being Brahma Bhuta, it's actually positive because there's love for the Lord. But there's not a sense of possession. So then there's no desire to render service. It's you're appreciating, and that basically you can say is your service. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can we say that actually the devotee in Shantarasa are the most important in number?
Shantaras will be the greatest in number.
Number, yes.
And in one sense, you could probably say yes, because all the trees, all the cows, all the birds, you know, everybody,
yes.
all these persons. So these are all expanded from Sundani potency. Mm-hmm. Sundani potency is controlling this rasa. Mm-hmm. And so then you can say is they would be creating the environment,
yes. Yes.
in which the dynamic service is going on. Does that make sense? Yeah. But they all have, they're all conscious, they all have that full appreciation for the Lord, they all have that love for the Lord. But they don't specifically necessarily do a service.
Can they stand as udipans for rasa?
Sorry?
Can they stand as udipans for rasa?
I mean, they can definitely be udipan for other devotees. You know, but before it was like, I'm not sure when it'll get to that, but, you know, it was Rupa Goswami described what is in each rasa, what is the mood, what's the the qualities of the Vishai, what are the Udipans and everything like that. And so these aspects will be there. But yes, it's just like devotees are naturally, it's like Lord Brahma is impressed with the grass, you know. Like that, just be a blade of grass, you know, and then the gopis will come and step on you, and so their position is so fortunate, and so, like that, it's fine.
So there are different categories of Shantarasa in the sense that, as you mentioned, sama in Shantaras between the Tashta Shakti and active service, and some are situated in a spiritual sky in a neutral position to facilitate the rasas, like the trees, the river, the grass.
I would say that they're all in the same position. I wouldn't say there's different, you know, just some will be in human form, some will be in other forms.
Okay. So yogi is equal to a blade of grass on a neutral state.
Means you're going to have those who are still within their conditioned state. You know, they may have come to a realization, but then there's those who are in their spiritual form.
Right. Okay.
So the Shantaratis will have their spiritual form. As sadhakas, then they may not. But so just like that, in any devotional thing, you can make the difference between those who are sadhakas and those who are siddhas.
Yes.
And so on the siddha platform, it would just be various aspects that are there. You need all of those to create the environment.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
I ask you because people ask me. So.
Yeah. No. It's not a problem. I'm just saying but what's happening here is that they're not distinguishing between sadhaka and siddha in this case. So those who have attained their spiritual form.
So that's what they like, right?
I mean, that's what... because it makes the noise, you know. Come on, it's like... Yes.
All right, so can we say that all kinds of devotees, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsali, Omadurja, they can be from the Tatastha Shakti of the Lord?
Yes.
Means the Jivas.
Yeah, the Jivas can be in any of the five rasas.
And they're also... those who are from the internal potency of the Lord. They're not necessarily Jivas. Because
no.
We always think if it's this, it's got to be Jivas. But it's not necessarily. Is that right?
No. Its point is the internal potency is in these five rasas, and Jivas can be in these five rasas. Because the point is that the internal potency is going to be running the things. Jivas are going to be assisting.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mother Jashoda, she's going to be internal potency. And there's going to be other internal potency who are assistants, but Jivas can also be assistant.
Okay.
But once you come to that platform, then you don't distinguish between what's internal potency, what's Jiva, who's Sandini, who's Samvitladini. You don't need to do that, because then it's about the rasa. Because if you're distinguishing, then it's more about the knowledge and all that. So it might be a feature within the Shanta, but within the pastimes there's no need. As sadhakas maybe, but as in the pastime, you don't have to make that distinction. You know, because it's about the taste there. That's that, right?
Yeah, because when we study in Paramatma Sandarbha, we mentioned we're energy of Paramatma, and then at the same time we're saying, oh, this rasa comes from Sandini, energy of the Lord, and people are like, what? Where is this coming from? How do we reconcile those two? And then
Okay. Well, you have the thing is that when you're dealing with the Dasamul, then you're going to have, when you're talking about Krishna, first is how he's the absolute truth. Right? Second is going to be that he is the Lord of all energy.
Yeah.
So that includes Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that. But then the third is, as Bhagavan, he's the enjoyer of that. Like we were discussing this morning, is that there's the samasti and vyasti, means how Krishna sees the universe and everything, and how we then from our position then perceive. But then Krishna's beyond all this, because for him it's about rasa. So if you're dealing in love, then that's the exchange, you know. If there's some other consideration like that, then he's going to take on these other features to interact. So that you're coming from Paramatma, but that's the point is he's the Lord of those energies there. That's how we're dealing with him. Because as soon as you're in the fire, then you're counted as fire. You know, so if someone is foolishly trying to point out, no, 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 but it's iron. It says, yeah, yeah, but it's in the fire. It's red hot. It burns. You can see flames coming up. No, 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 but it's iron. Okay, come over here. You know, hold this for me. No, 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 it's on fire. Yeah, yeah, so it's fire. No, no, it's iron. So this kind of thing is totally unnecessary. It's like, okay, your intelligence can tell the difference here. And of what value? You know, it's like, let's say you're eating, you know, some fruit or something. Oh, this apple is cut in this shape, and that apple is cut in that shape. And this one over here has this little piece fell off. Why don't you eat? No, no, but this is so, you know, important. No, it isn't. So that's the difficulty, is that when we, because there's the aspect is if you have knowledge, then you have control. Right? Because knowledge comes from the Lordship, because he's the absolute truth. He is knowledge. So he's in control of everything. So, therefore, this idea is, so if we can get an idea, then I actually know and I control it. But you don't. Krishna reveals knowledge about himself. We can take part. But that doesn't mean that, therefore, it replaces the actual position of priti, of love for Krishna. So these are all just designations and situations, how they're going to be there. Because you say Vrindavan, but everything is conscious. That means, you know, the road is conscious, the pebbles are conscious, the trees, the, you know, everything is, all the birds, all the animals, all the creepers, everything's conscious. So this is all Sundani. It may be jivas, it may be the internal potency, it doesn't matter. Because they have their service, that's what they do.
When we say jiva, means bomalila.
Yes, but they're still, when they're in the spiritual world, they'll still be jivas, but you don't need to make the distinction.
Okay.
You understand? They don't just change. You don't have. It's like a, you know, how you say Michael Jackson. You don't have to distinguish. Does that make sense? Yeah. You just interact. No.
That's a great analogy.
It works.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way, Maharaj. Actually, when a jiva attains Swarup Siddhi and Vastu Siddhi, still remain a jiva.
You're still a jiva, but nobody needs to make the distinction.
That's right.
It's not that the internal potency are hanging out together and go, you know, someone's kind of like, oh no, here come the jivas again. You know, it's like that. They don't do that.
They put the mask.
Yeah.
Jiva.
6 foot, 6 foot. Yeah. See, there's no distinction there. It's just like between the Hladini, Samvid, Sandini. You don't have to make those distinctions. Because they're all expansions of the Sarup Shakti. And so then they all have their natural place that they play within the pastimes of the Lord. And Krishna reciprocates, because the point is, you can say, no, no, but I want to be this one or that one. But Krishna, you know, means Sat Chit Ananda, he means he's interacting with all. Where do those three come from? Sandini comes from Sat. You know, from Chit comes Sandini. From Ananda comes Ladini. And so all three are going on. You know, so it's just, it's that perfect blend. Like that. So we use knowledge as a tool to get rid of ignorance. You know, but ultimately it's not about the knowledge. It doesn't mean that they don't have the knowledge. That's the mistake of the sahajyas. So if you say, oh, it's not needed, so then they're going to say, oh, we're not going to get involved because we're so advanced. But you see, as soon as one of these personalities from the spiritual world that doesn't have to use that aspect of knowledge, as soon as then, you know, if you ask them a question on these things, you know, books appear. You know what I'm saying? It's so detailed. It's just like, you know, we've been hearing the thing. We went through Nectar of Devotion, then we went through Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then we're going through it here, we're going through those same things in Natya Shastra. You know, you start to, after a while, it's like, oh, okay, you know.
This is all revealed by Manjaris.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that, and, you know, and they're just the assistants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Ananta's been talking since time immemorial with unlimited mouths and still going on. So it's useful in that we understand we're not God. We're a servant of God, who we actually are. So that's the point, is the knowledge is there to free you from mundane consciousness and to understand our proper relationship with Krishna. But it's not knowledge on how the relationship works. You understand? You have a friend. It's about the friendship, not the knowledge of your position, their position, and all that. You know, in the beginning, yeah, sometimes you're seeing, you know, some guy walks by and you go, who's this guy? Oh, he's this. Oh, okay. You know, then immediately, then you see relationship and all that. Before that, you don't see, so you don't care. So knowledge then can establish the point, and then you deal in proper relationship. So all this technical knowledge is to get us to give up, you know, all our various ways on how we're trying to get out of surrendering to the Lord. So all the knowledge is, oh, okay, but what about this? Then you have another point. What about that? And like that. So the acharyas cover all these points. So that's the idea. So what he's pointing out here is that they're all on that they're all in Preeti. But we see is that if you're taking the transcendental or the spiritual in one platform to speak from prema on up, you know, because that's where dynamic is happening, is that because the dasyas, they attain prema. Like that, and then as you go up in rasas, they go higher, you know, in the intensity of that, of the preeti. But for shantaras, they're always in the bhava. So in that way, that's what Prabhupada says. It's not material, but it's not spiritual. In another place, he says spiritual and transcendental. Spiritual meaning that neutral state, it's not material, you're situated in sat, but the other aspects are not as important. So in other words, for them, the sad aspect is more important. Dasya, then the chit aspect is more important. Then the higher three, then it's ananda will start to be more. So, because they assist in that aspect. So the friends and the parental are all there. They're the upper sides, you can say, of the chit aspect. But it's all in assistance, more direct assistance to the conjugal. Like that, at least in Vrindavan. In Dwarka, then not as much. Because there it basically is all around the Paramatma feature. It's just that you have that touch of sweetness, and so the Bhagavan aspect comes out. But as soon as you bring in the knowledge, it goes back to Paramatma. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. See, this all works.
When I hear this,
because you have to remember, just the point is that when you say love of God, love is known as Jiva Goswami is Preeti. Yes. So that starts with Rati. Rati is the first stage of love of God. So they have Rati, yes, but they don't necessarily have Prema, because we generally take it, yes, Prema is love of God. So we'll have a problem there at that point.
Yes. Yes.
But no, love of God means all eight levels.
Yeah.
So
it means
that worked, or?
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I hear, I think, yeah, I got it. Then trying to explain this, I realize whether I got it or not.
That's there. But the point is, you keep trying, and then eventually other angles.
Then you own it.
You don't own it.
I mean, you own the understanding.
It's called. We will call it nididhyasana or vijnana.
Vijnana is realization. You may not have realized it, but theoretically you can explain it.
Yeah, but that's understanding.
That's understanding. Yeah.
Yes, means you clear doubts. That's the first stage.
Yeah.
The second is by applying it and using it, you get an understanding. By being stable in that, then you get realization. So that's why you see the Uttamas, they have never have any problem in discussions. because they realize they can always see what's not correct. So it's not that by their fancy word jugglery or this or that, it's a matter of it's still wrong. You know, like we were discussing this morning with the impersonalist, it's always inductive. There is no deductive aspect other than Brahman is unchanging and unlimited. Then it's kind of like that, a few points from there. But everything else, their interpretation of these things and how they deal with everything else is all inductive.
So Nirvana Adhikari doesn't even have to be learned of us.
No.
His realization, or her realization, is enough.
Just say there. Otherwise, because otherwise they say yes, his or her, but then at some point, then you're being, you know, how you say, exclusive here. What about it?
Start with it.
Huh?
Start with it.
Start with it, you know? I mean, it's like you said, what was it? And I think in one of the famous lines in Hair, right? You got to feed it. No? So the thing is therefore just stick to the, you know, one does this or, you know, like that. Say to the third, you know, kind of party, and then you can, because the third party includes everybody. All, what are we up to now? 72 or something in the Facebook options of male or female or, so you have 72. So, yeah. So these things, it's a matter of, then that's why it's, you see, is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the greatest, you know, like academic, you know, and ability like that, you know, is his guru is Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, who can't even read. Because it's realization that establishes it.
I was thinking, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to speak the Bhagavatam, and Gaurakishordas and Jagannath Babaji are listening to him speak.
Mm-hmm.
They've realized what he's talking about, so it's not the learning, they're just relishing.
Relishing. And also, it's just different angles. You never thought of it like that. And, you know, because the different devotees, that's what's always amazing, is how, because of their individuality, of how they'll express that devotion. And so it's always amazing. It's always wonderful. That's why they can always hear again, and because it's Krishna, and it's coming from him and his potencies from the Swarup Shakti. Therefore, even stuff they've done is amazing. Like Prabhupada, you know, devotees will read his purports, and he's amazed by them. Because it's not saying, like, I wrote them. It's that Krishna reveals, and you write it down, and then when you see, then wow, what, how amazing! That's why I was saying this sense of the ownership is more of a mood, like that. You know, it's not like I'm knowledgeable. It's that if there's that sense of connection to Krishna and all that, then you have that kind of that identity is there. You know, then from that aspect, then that would be the strong point because of that sense of identity with Krishna. Therefore, and they realize that, so they don't. It's because we tend to overvalue logic. That it actually is really, you know, has a solid thing. But the point is if you're conditioned. So therefore, it means your logic is based on your senses. And if your senses are imperfect, you know, there's cheating propensity because you don't want to be wrong. There's illusion that you see it the way you want to see it and not. Like that, then there's a problem. You know? And so the logic that any materialist has will actually be faulty when it comes to the absolute. As far as the mechanics of logic, they may be very good in that. But if you're using this fabulous thing for something not so good, you know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say we get one of these handmade 250, 300, 400 euro, you know, French copper frying pans. Right? And so then the kid takes it out in the backyard. You know, the daughter takes it out there with her other four-year-old friends. And, you know, they're taking some grass from here and a couple of leaves and this and that, putting it in there, and they're really cooking. You know, it's all happening. Does it matter? It's in a 400-euro frying pan. It doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing, is that they're using these technical things, but the basis of them are wrong, so therefore the whole thing's wrong. It doesn't matter, you know, like that.
I was thinking of the example when you memorize a shloka, right? So you've got your brain, your discipline, and family. And I was thinking of the ownership. I can recite it by heart.
But that's confidence. Right? So that you can say, because that's one of the nine aspects of symptoms of bhava, is that confidence in that relationship with Krishna and Krishna's reciprocation. But ownership, because the point is knowledge is Krishna's. So I wouldn't use ownership in that context.
Yeah, right.
The word is a valuable word, but I would tend to use a synonym. Yeah, because otherwise then there's that sense of it's mine and it's I and these kind of things when you can get distracted by that.
Yes, yes.
You know, because then they'll start looking at it from my perspective rather than theirs, that I've connected the Lord. By Krishna's grace, I'm able to, you know, I feel confident I can use this in Krishna's service. And as long as Krishna has that, it's there, just like Arjuna. He has Gandiva, he can do amazing things, he can hold back all the demigods. In the Kandava forest, it was him alone against the whole host of demigods. And this was before he went to heaven and got all the weapons. This is just his ability at using his bow and arrow and whatever kinds of celestial weapons he would have gotten from Drona. That's alone. Because Krishna just drove the chariot. You know? At that. But at the same time, as then you have that closing pastime where he's taking all the queens, you know, to Hastinapur, and then a bunch of cowherd boys come out with sticks. And with Gandiva, he could do nothing. So he understood Krishna's taking back that potency. And so then Yudhishthira then understands that, okay, now it's time for us to go. The pastime's been wound up, our potency's been withdrawn, and so then they go to the Himalayas. So does that make sense? So you don't want to bring that out too much, otherwise the mind might latch onto it, you know. You know, because it's used now, oh, you got to own it, and this and that. You can use that in your general kind of things, but at the same time, is because you own it, you identify with it, you know, you have that confidence in it, but we would tend to use that, the confidence aspect, because it's none of it's us anyway. It's there, whether we know it or not. That knowledge is still there. Jnana Shakti is there. It's one of Krishna's his potencies. So we have that aspect of sat and chit, so we can know. But we can only know because Krishna knows. Like that. Paramatma's there. We're part of him. He knows. Then we can see through that. Is that? And then it more easily keeps the right mentality. But the principle that you're talking about is correct. I would just change the wording to that aspect within, you know, that bhava makes is about that confidence that this process works and this. And so I learned this, you know, Prabhupada's mention of the importance of shlokas and, you know, your speech in the mode of goodness, you quote from scriptures and things. And so, you know, following that, then by Krishna's grace, we have that. So we have that confidence. And so, you know, we're following the footsteps. And so it has that. That makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking this morning also that when we approach Bhagavatam, for us study of the Bhagavatam is a form of worship.
Mm.
But others, they approach Bhagavatam to analyze it.
Mm.
That's why they can't figure out Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So there's no sequence, there's this, there's that, there's Kalpa Veda, you know, what's going on. Why is there three narrations, you know, simultaneously going at the same time? It doesn't make any sense.
I think there's sometimes when it's even more levels. I mean, because you already have sutta and Who's the sage? Shonaka. Then second canto, you bring in Sukadev and Parikshit.
Yeah.
Then you're going to bring in, let's say, Markandeya and who's it? Vidura. They're going to be talking about another story like that. So you can get 5-6 layers at once.
Because devotees also, now we got to analyze Bhagavatam, this and that, but this is the wrong approach, actually.
Yes, it's the wrong, because who are we, how are we going to analyze? The point is it's descending knowledge, you can't analyze. It can be revealed. So if, like you said, we are worshipping, then Krishna reciprocates, because he's knowledge. He reveals himself. It's not that, oh yes, by my astute analytical ability. No, that's why we always stick to what are the formulas that the acharyas use. I'm just thinking that just need to match the hats, and then then we're good.
We came out of Calcutta before we got the hats.
Oh, so the top goes with Calcutta.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you are in the ashram we got.
Okay, and they didn't give hats there.
Yeah.
Okay, because Calcutta doesn't get cold, right? So therefore, the formulas that the acharyas use, that's how we want to look at it. Because you can come up with so many things yourself, because that's the modern idea, is that you go into it and take one thing and expand it out and put so many references and bibliographies and all these kind of things. But then the problem is since we are faulty, then our analyzation will be also. It won't be inclusive. So that's why we always will stick to formulas that the acharyas have given. And, you know, we may not fully understand them, but we'll stick to them and try to do. And then with time, it becomes more and more obvious how it works. And then you can go back, rewrite to try to bring up. But we're just trying to bring out what the acharyas have given. We can't on our own analyze. Like you said, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that they'll figure it out. It's just the way it is. And Shankaracharya, who was the best speculator, he left Bhagavatam alone. Because otherwise, like you said, they come up with so many doubts and this and that. So this modern academic, method is useless for understanding spiritual subject matter. Using your intelligence, yes, that's there, discriminating and all that, but you have to discriminate within the context of what the acharyas give. Otherwise, you won't know. And then that's the sad part, is because you've been, one is on the material platform, is knowledge is higher than karma. And then within the material context, then, you know, if you're intellectual, you're higher than a general person. And then if you progressed within that field and gotten higher and higher in degrees, then that means you know everything. But as we discussed this morning, you know everything within your specific field that you wrote your paper on. Outside of that paper, you're the same as everybody else. You know? But there's this idea, no, because I'm that, I'll understand it. And it doesn't work. Doesn't work. You know, you please Krishna, then you will. Now, if you have that kind of intelligence, you surrender to Krishna. It's nice. Like Prabhupada would take Hayagriva and others who had this intellectual background and engage them in intellectual work. But they had to do it according to, you know, what is the parampara. They couldn't use their academic method. You know, whenever they did, Prabhupada would pull them up on that. So, yeah.
I just want to confirm, you know, you said that there are different levels of love of God, and we can say Priti or Bhava is the first one.
No, Priti is that when we say love of God,
yes.
The Sanskrit term that the acharyas use is priti. Yeah, priti means all eight levels.
Yes. Okay.
Like that. Because prema is specifically that one level.
Yes.
Like that. It can also be for all of them, but you have to be able to accommodate it.
Yes.
You know, if you look at it, you know, by the levels, yes. Then you get stuck.
Yes.
If you look at it, that prema is another word for love, which is fine also. Yeah. Like that. But the idea is that you have to understand that love of Godhead is all includes all eight levels.
Yes.
Like that. When there's rati for Krishna, then that means then that matures into love for Krishna. It may stay on that level of rati.
Yes.
And it may not develop any particular services as such. You know, it means an active service, a dynamic service. That's why shanta is passive. Well, then you see that starting from dasya is direct. But that's because he's the supreme, he's God, he's this, he's that. That's the tendency of it.
Yes.
Like that. But the point is that there's no attachment for anything but Krishna's service.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the service is there. While we say shanta, they're attached to anything connected to Krishna, but not necessarily to service.
Yes. Yes.
So that means the shanta, because of that sense of possession and that surrender, then has that's why it's a more intense rasa. So we're talking about unlimited here, and then within unlimited, it's a little bit more than that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sakyarati is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.30 as follows. Ye shyush tulya mukundasya te shakya shakhaya satam mata samyad vishrambha rupaisham rati shakyam iho chate. According to the opinion of advanced devotees and learned scholars, a devotee in Sakyarati feels equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So the other one is when the Supreme Lord is localized, the aspect is appreciated, and a great devotee understands his subordinate position. Not only does he surrender to the Supreme, but due to his subordinate position, he wishes to render some service and thus become favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So in Shanta, they appreciate and understand their subordinate position, but it doesn't make them have that, and they surrender, but it's not that they want to render service.
Yes.
So now then here is they want to render service. Now here, it's the point is that has that, and but they feel the relationship of being equal with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're a friend, so they're just, you can interact. They might be a little bit more, a little bit less mm-hmm. equal or confidential, but the point is they're equal. This is a relationship in friendship. Due to having a friendly relationship with the Lord, not only is one free from material attachment, but one believes in equal dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sakyarati. The Sakyarati devotee is so advanced that he treats the Lord on an equal level and even exchanges joking words with him. Although one is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Sakyarati devotee feels equal to the Lord, and he does not feel guilt because of this. Right? You know, so he's walking with Krishna, has his arm and shoulder, doing this and that, or making jokes with him. That for them, they don't feel that, no, he's God, you can't do this. They don't have that problem.
Is that where Yogamaya begins to interact?
No, Yogamaya is all the way. And Yogamaya means that you're connected with the Lord, because we see Arjuna, he's seeing the universal form, right? And it's just so much is happening, you can't, how do you have the relationship? So it just creates this terror and other things like that. So it drops him way down, you know? It means you have the dasya aspect, but even just the reaction of it will be, in the fear and other things like that. So the point is Yogamaya always has to be there, because then you see a particular aspect and you can follow that path. So you don't see other aspects. So, if, like, say, Narad Muni is seeing Krishna and how he's expanded into 16,000 palaces with 16,000 queens. He's just seeing that aspect. He's not at the same time seeing how he's created the universe and he's did this and there's unlimited Vaikuntha. He does not all, no. So Yogamaya keeps there. Yogamaya is always there. See, the point is they all have rati, attachment to Krishna. That's the important point. So that's why we say they all have love for Krishna. But now, the intensity of that love then gets deeper and deeper with each rasa. So that's because they're all equal, because they're all rati. They all have love. But at the same time, the intensity, that's why then you can say that there's stages. Yes.
That stage is called pranaya, where they don't consider Krishna's position and their position and interact.
Okay, so that's you have prema, then pranayas.
But I think
it's in its own category.
From rati it goes first pranaya, then it goes to prema.
Okay, so it's like each rasa also may have a slight difference in how the eight levels move.
Yes.
Like that. We're used to seeing it, how it works for the conjugal rasa. Yeah. Because they're the only ones that deal with all eight. And the other rasas, because they're dealing with left, there might be some slight difference. Some of them are dropped or left out. Like the parental, you don't get man.
Only in conjugal man.
Yeah, you only get man in conjugal.
But they say pranaya also not in parental. Because they never see Krishna as equal.
Equal, yes. Okay. Yes, so then, like this, they have their uniqueness. They have their uniqueness. But these are the main features. Now, whether you put it all together or not, or, so whether, like, when you're cooking, do you put in the black pepper or not, or you put in this or not, or, you have so many options you can do. No? Okay. Oh, I see. You would work on the next one. What I have on my plate, I could put this sauce on, I could put that one on. Okay. I guess that was more directed on this side.
Yeah.
You have to know at which point in the process someone's involved. Okay. Okay. But one believes in equal dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sakyarati. Okay, usually it's offensive to consider oneself equal to the Lord. The Mayavadis, for example, consider themselves equal to the Lord. But such feelings entail bereavement because they are material. Sakyarati, however, is a feeling experienced in the mind by a pure devotee. And he is eternally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that feeling. Right, so here it's about their exchange. The other, it's there. We're equal in that we're both God. So they're seeing it on. He is the absolute. I am the absolute. But in here, they're going past those. They're going him as a person, and me as a person. We're both people, and we're friends, and so we can interact in that way. Yeah, it's not based on these other aspects. That's why you see in Dwarka, which will be majesty and sweetness. Have some touch. Goloka means you have that mix, right? And so, but as soon as majesty comes up in some situation, they immediately drop out and back into dasya. All of them. Doesn't matter what their relationship, they drop to dasya. Because dasya is then about appreciating the localized aspect of the Lord. How he's the controller of everything, creator, maintain all these things. And like you see these prayers, even like Kunti. She's offering prayers, but so she drops into that kind of mood and says, he's the supreme, you're this, you're that. No?
Otherwise she's in Vatsalya Rasa?
Yes. So that's just how Dwarka works. Generally speaking, in the pastimes, they'll be within that their particular rasa, because the covering of yoga maya is more. But then when he does something great, then sometimes they drop into... It just depends on the situation. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Yes?
Also here, the Mayavadis... way of seeing Sakya is like, I'm equal to Krishna, so his energy is my energy, like she should serve. But actually from the pure devotee's point of view, Sakya, that means Lord's mission is my mission, so I engage in the mission
yes.
of Lord's service.
Yes, yes, yes. That's nice. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in Kunti's prayers, she mentions all the levels, but she starts with general, Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Nanda,
Krishnaya, Vasudevaya.
Something Tanaya Chara.
Devakinanda Nayacha, Nanda Gopakumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Then she ends with Govinda, which is very close.
Mm-hmm.
But she starts with general, Krishna.
Yes.
Which is the Lord of everybody. Then she shows her specific relationship.
Yes, yeah, then you're talking, then you get absorbed and you get like this. It's just like with after he kills the wrestlers and Kamsa, then his parents are standing there, you know, he's God. But then in interacting with them, then immediately they go back into their own relationship. So it's not when they drop, they stay there. It just drops, and then Yogamaya brings them back in.
I think also when we were studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then in friendship, there's Gaurav Sakya and then Vishramba, which is explained here, which is very close, like Krishna and his friends in Braj.
Mm.
But with Arjuna, as you mentioned, as soon as he saw that universal form, he dropped down.
Yes.
Because it's Gaurav Sakya. It's not,
yes.
It's a lower level of Sakya.
Yes.
It's a Vaikuntha Sakya, basically saying.
Yeah, like that. Because in one sense, that when the Acharyas talk about the planet, then Gokul is considered that level, and below Gokul, that's all considered Goloka or Vaikuntha. So, you know, but at the same time, as we can also use Goloka, you know, mean Vrindavan and like this. So it just depends on the context. But the principle is that once you go out of Vrindavan, you're adding in an aspect of majesty. Not as much as Vaikuntha, but it's still being added. And so differently, it goes deep, it becomes more and more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all you see is then, but then from Dwarka to Vaikuntha, then you have Ayodhya in between.
Right.
Because then it will also have these aspects, but its conjugal rasa is already restricted.
Yeah.
You know? And things, and so it comes down, yeah.
When
Vipakumar
is in Dwarka,
I think he does go. He did it a few times. That's fine. Okay. Vatsalya Rati is described as follows on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.33. Gurayo ye harer asya te puja iti vishruta anugraha mayi te sham ratir vatsalyam uchate idam lalana bhavashish chibuka sparshanadikrit. When a living entity is situated on the platform of Vatsalya Rati, he thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his childhood feature. In this feature, the Lord has to be protected by the devotee. And at this time, the devotee takes the position of being worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These feelings of parental love are called Vatsalya Rati. When the devotee is situated on this platform, he wants to maintain the Lord like a son, and he desires all good fortune for the Lord. He offers blessings to the Lord by touching his feet and head. Madhura Rati, or attachment and conjugal love, is described as follows. Mito harer mrigakshascha sambhogas yadi karanam madhura para paryaya priyata kyodita ratihi asyam kataksha brukshepa priyavani smita dayaha. Madhura Rati, the conjugal relationship experienced between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the young damsels of Brajabhumi, continuously exists in eight kinds of remembrances. This intimate relationship brought about by conjugal love produces movements of the eyebrows, glancing, sweet words, and exchange of joking words. It's just interesting how each description becomes shorter and shorter. And the technical is in the first two. And then after that, then it... Because then it's beyond. Because in these ones, then you're dealing beyond.
Yes.
You know, directly means it's the Bhagawan feature is the prominent. And so Krishna says, he is everything. He is he's the value, the controller of everything. But at the same time, he's beyond everything. So we see the conjugal is focused on that beyond. Yes. Right? And then these other three will be beyond. Then when you get into Dasya, it'll be more about how he's controlling everything, and then the Shanta will be about how he is everything. Right? Does that make sense?
Today I was hearing this story because we were just reading Madhavendra Puri discovering the Gopal on Govardhan. And initially, then the both the Vallabhas and Gaudiyas worshipped Gopal.
Mm.
But the conflict was that when the Gaudiyas used to worship Gopal, they always tried to bring Radharani to Gopal because, you know, they believe in conjugal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Vallabhas were very upset, so they tried to stop them, but they realized it's not possible. So they took Gopal, you know, to Nagdwar at some point, because they realized it's like, because they in Vatsalya,
mm-hmm,
worshiping in a different mood,
right,
the Gaudiyas
right.
always brought, you know, the female aspect of God.
Yes, and also how they worship in that way, because even there when they do the worship, from what I've heard in Nathdwar, that Radharani's there, but the main pujari will worship Krishna,
yeah,
and take care, but his wife takes care of Radharani.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a whole different kind of flavor, because
yeah, exactly.
The Gaudiyas would be, it'd be very, yeah, very different mood.
I also read about Nathaji's eyes. And he's got his eyes like this.
Yes.
And then the pupils are down.
Mm-hmm.
So the explanation is that Krishna wants full surrender at his lotus feet. That's where he's looking. He wants his servant at his lotus feet.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like coming with our eyes looking here.
Okay.
He's got it to the eyes of the
son.
Servant of Shiva. I'm not sure they are the original eyes, by the way.
Who knows? And also that'll be their interpretation, because Radharaman, I think, has a similar kind of eyes.
Yeah.
But it's not, I've never heard them make that point. You know? It just looks nice.
Or maybe they hijacked that idea from Lord Balaji, because he puts his hand down. It represents.
Yeah.
You surrender, then I'll give
you. Oh, okay.
One hand is strong.
Yeah, because it's also you first surrender, then it will fall.
And then they consider Lakshmi Devi, Bhudevi, Shri Devi, they are more considerate. Lord directly don't approach, so that's why we go through Lakshmi Devi.
That's why you go at the bottom of the hill, go to Lakshmi,
yeah.
Then you go up. Yeah, because they keep more of a separate kind of thing and like this. And that. Yeah, it's just that's their flavor. Chapter 19, 185. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The chief transcendental mellows experienced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are five: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. Srila Prabhupada. Shanta Bhakta Rasa. Okay, so that was the ratis, the attraction. Now it'll be the mellows. Like that means the combination of all five bhavas, right? Shanta Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.1.4-6 as follows. When Shanta Rati, neutral attraction, exists continuously and is mixed with ecstatic emotion, and when the devotee relishes that neutral position, it is called Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Shanta Bhakti Rasa devotees generally relish the impersonal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since their taste of transcendental bliss is incomplete, it is called aghana, or not concentrated. Ghana is thick, you know, it's just like you have milk, it's thin. When you cook it, it gets thick. So it's just, it means you're starting with rati, but it hasn't been thickened. So that's what's happening. It's the other stages of the eight stages of priti. It's getting thicker and thicker. Like that.
Like the sugar candy.
Yes, like sugar candy. Like that. But it doesn't mean that it's not, he says, the chief transcendental, the chief. So it's the beginning of the chief. Like that. So it's not a lower level. It's a higher level. But then there's higher than that. You know, it's just like that Dwarka is perfect, Mathura more perfect, and Vrindavan most perfect. But it's all perfect. A comparison is made between ordinary milk and concentrated milk. When the same devotee goes beyond the impersonal and tastes the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form as Satchitananda Vigraha, his transcendental blissful body, complete in knowledge and eternity, the taste is called concentrated, gana, transcendental bliss. Sometimes the devotees in Shantaras relish transcendental bliss after meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is not comparable to the transcendental bliss relished by the devotees situated in Dasyaras, the transcendental mellow in which one renders service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you see, Prabhupada's pointing out here, he's trying to encourage one to go beyond this Shanta position. Don't get attracted and distracted there. As we see Raghunath Das Goswami in his prayers, was it Manasiksha?
Yeah.
Yeah, then he also says, don't get distracted by these things. And don't even get distracted by the dasya aspect. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, you keep going to, you know, into like that. So the point is that these are, it's showing that there's a progression here. And so you take milk, which is perfect, and now when you cook it down, you get condensed milk. You know, then the taste is much more intense, much greater. So that's the whole idea that is going on here. So he says, somebody when they come in contact with the Lord, then it's greater. So then as sadhakas, it'll be up to a particular thing. They come in contact, like the four kumaras, it'll become greater. But it still won't be as great as those who are in the dasya rasa. Like that. But we always have to remember, we're talking variations within perfection.
Yes, yes.
Right, you know. You know, we can't write, oh, yeah, these guys. You know, we can't write them off, you know.
I mean, in the Bhagavatam, the Dushanta is represented by Prahladma. He's the example.
Yes.
And this is very high level.
Yes. You know, and he's in contact with the Lord and everything like that. Yeah, no, it's a very perfect. That's why it's saying something's being given that's never been given before. So you can keep going beyond that. So. Dasya rasa or dasya bhakti rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2-3.4 as follows. When, according to his desires, the living entity develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this beginning stage of love is called dasya bhakti rasa. Dasya bhakti rasa is divided into two categories called sambrahma dasya and gaurav dasya. That's what you were mentioning before. In sambrahma dasya, the devotee renders respectful service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the more advanced Gaurav Dasya, his service takes the form of giving protection to the Lord. Yeah. Sakya Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.3.1. According to one's original consciousness, ecstatic emotions may be exhibited as continuously existing in fraternity. When this stage of Krishna consciousness is mature, it is called Prayo Rasa or Shakya Bhakti Rasa.
His service takes the form of giving protection to the Lord, Gauram Priti. Wasn't that the opposite? Wasn't it the opposite?
We have also, is that in the Gaurav Dasya? No, that's those who see Krishna as parent.
Sons of Krishna.
Yeah, like those the sons of Krishna, like that. So they have this also, this Gaurav Dasya, where they are protected by Krishna. Okay. But then you also have those who have the mood of protecting Krishna.
Okay.
So it'll have that touch, because you can see is that you always have these aspects where there might be that senior, junior aspects within the rasa. And so because of that, it has its effect, because it has something. You know, it's just like Lalita is older than Radharani. So therefore, when, you know, some things get out of hand, she can come in as the boss and straighten things out, because she's the eldest. Even though it's only 27 days, you know, so it's you know, you can say 1 month like that. I think she's on the Shasti while Radharani's on the Astami. So, you know, there'll be that, you know, 1 day less than And so these things will have their flavor. And so it's just a matter of then these will be more. Yeah. You know, because some it's just serving the Lord, but then also the service you want to protect and take care and everything like that. But it still has that mood of service. It hasn't taken on the. Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa is describing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.4.1 as follows. What eternally existing love of Godhead transforms into parental love and is mixed with corresponding emotions. That stage of spiritual existence is described by learned devotees as Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa. Madhura Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.5.1 as follows. If in accordance with one's own natural development in Krishna consciousness, one's attraction leads towards conjugal love within the heart, that is called attachment in conjugal love, or Madhura Rasa. So the basic principles of that, where you have the rati of the attraction, and that's mixed with the various emotions, and that taste, that will be rasa. Because if you don't have the rati, you know, or the stai bhav, then how do anything else manifest? So when the stai bhav is mixed with the other emotions and all that, that gives you the taste. That's rasa. Does that make sense? So when you're talking about, you know, how you say vatsalya bhakti rasa, you're talking about the taste in vatsalya. But if you're talking about vatsalya rati, you're talking about the attraction. Because you have attraction, and then there's attachment. So there's sambandha, will be vatsalya rati. The prayojana will be vatsalya bhakti rasa. And that activity in between, that will be the abhideya. So that's also then why, because there's no activity, then the intensity in shanta is not so great. Like that. Means there's always going to be something, you're in contact with Krishna. So, yeah?
So Vatsalya Ras is not in is in Dwarka.
Yeah.
Yes, because...
You just don't have it in Vaikuntha, because he's Paramatma, he's God. God doesn't have parents.
In Braj, Mother Yashoda is the ultimate Vatsalya Bhava.
Mm-hmm.
Then all the other mothers... They also love Krishna like their own son.
Yes, yes, yes. But they're all, you can say, assistants to the Mother Yashoda.
Yes.
Because there's no envy or anything. So then they're always, in whatever way they can, help. You know, and they'll discuss parental stuff. You know, so when they sit around the courtyard and Krishna and Balaram are playing and that, then they'll all discuss, you know.
And when Krishna breaks into their home and makes a mess... They go to Mother Yashoda and complain, but when she wants to punish him,
yeah, yeah, because it's the parents are always forgiving, but at the same time, it's a position to interact. You know, because that's the whole point. The Ras is about interaction.
So it's interesting because you have Mother Yashoda interacting with Krishna, and then you have the drama being unleashed. Where Krishna becomes the son of all the mothers in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Vatsalya Ras really blossoms.
Yes.
And the same with the cows. Right?
Yes.
Now, their own children don't get the same intensity that Krishna does.
No, because them and their children are both focused on Krishna.
Right.
So no one's looking for that. It's just natural. They're going to deal in the proper way and everything like that, but the focus is going to be on Krishna. So they're taking care very nicely of your kids, like you see what they bring for lunch. It's always good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. So parents are taking care, but at the same time as their focus is on Krishna.
Right.
You know, so that's the same thing that we do here. The family activities go on and all that, and all the proper interactions and very nice relationships, but the focus is on Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So we're only being asked to do what the residents of the spiritual world do. You know what I'm saying? So that's something very special. They, according to their position, their form, they perform those services that go along with that form. their form has naturally come from their particular bhava, while us, our form has come from our material bhava. And so now we just take that in the same position and everything, use that like they do in the spiritual world in Krishna's service. So that's why then all the religious activities are all done, but it's secondary. You know, so all the varnashram, all the family, all the this and that, all these things are all going on, but it's all because that's how relationships work. But it's all focused on Krishna. So we're being, that's why then Prabhupada can say, it's, you know, devotees are in the spiritual world. Because yes. They're doing the activities in that like that. Right? Does that make sense? So yeah. So you can see is the level that's being given and being offered by Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas. It's very, very special. So that's why we very much try to avoid these philosophies and perspectives that try to drag that down to the mundane platform and just say that's Indian. You're dealing with such mundanity here. I mean, just like total misunderstanding of what's going on. You know? And because you use some logic and this and that, it sounds great. Because, you know, who doesn't want to be cheated? You know, if the world's cheaters and cheated, that means, you know, most people are cheated. They're not that leadership in the cheating process. So they need a cheater to cheat them. So that, like this. So one has to be very, very careful. Is that what we're being given is something so special and so sublime. But to compare it on this because of material attachments, that's very unfair.
You know, that past time in Los Angeles, the devotees had read in the Krishna book, how Mother Yashoda keeps bringing prasadam to Krishna. So, the Matajis are having chapatis in the kitchen, and then they bring on the altar all the time, they just keep going in and out on the altar, bringing chapatis to
They Krishna. Cook on and bring them in.
And Prabhupada used to say, why are they going in and out of the kitchen like this all the time? They're bringing chapatis to Krishna. He says, no, you don't do this. Just give the plate and get out.
Yeah, Krishna, how can he eat?
They said, we thought we have to feed him all the time. No, we're not on that stage yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so then, it's nice. The mood is nice, so that's just, we just put it and go. Like, you bring in Prabhupada's plate and just leave it. Very rare you'd have somebody that could bring in stuff for it. Like that. I'm not sure. I think Upendra could. Like that.
Sometimes, yeah.
It'd be very rare.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. And then, what's his name? Shutakirti. I think there was, it's an occasion or two. But otherwise, it's just, he just put it there and go.
Maharaj.
Yeah.
Very important Russian question.
Very important Russian question. So you're saying that this is...
Darshan, yes.
So you're saying that this is a doozy.
Mm-hmm.
Doozy? Doozy means it's a really big one. Because there was a car in America called the Duesenberg. And its standard engine was 16 cylinders.
Whoa.
That was the speciality of it. Yeah, it was really long, big, huge, you know, like that. So something that's really big, then you can say it's a doozy.
Now we have Internet Sangha.
Okay.
So the question is as follows, connected to all the prasadam pastors.
Aha.
We offer plate to Krishna.
Right.
And then certain gurus, they visit our homes by Zoom.
Okay.
Can we offer... from the same plate that we offered to Krishna, can we offer it to the Zoom guru? Or we have to change it to another plate, because otherwise, how does he eat from the deity's plate? Is that, like, really important?
Zoom.
Because if he comes in person, obviously we know what to do. But now is a new part of Archa.
Zoom darshan,
yes.
What's it? What's that? A new day, a new light, a new... What is it?
Yeah, whatever it is.
You know the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, means is that you have the element that when you're doing the puja, the technical pujas, that after the plate, then that same plate then is offered to the guru, Purnimasi, and then the associates, like that. And so it's the same plate. So I would tend to say is that same plate can be offered. Means after the offering, it's not before. After the offering, then show that plate, then it's nice. You can see what's been offered and all that, and it's a nice arrangement and all that. Because if on their Zoom they've gotten to such technical that you see an arm coming out of your computer screen grabbing the bakura and going back inside, then change the plate. Well, you wouldn't want a guru who can stick his arm through there and get the
No.
Huh?
Yeah, then you say there's not enough salt.
And then the pakura comes flying back out. And boing.
Careful,
okay.
You choose as a guru. But my point is, why they're showing this to the guru through Zoom? That's really unfair if he's hungry.
Oh, that's another thing. I was just trying to show the work because he's going house to house. Because I would say for some, then they appreciate that.
Yeah. No, some actually like.
Yeah, you know, because
sweet, you know.
Yeah, because it's just showing what's that, and so it's nice. And then, and others, it's kind of like, you know, you know.
Okay, now we solved many people's problems.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, but just consider it as part of that puja aspect.
Yeah.
Like that.
I'll spare you the Chinese question.
But yeah, the thing is that what if he has those big cooking chopsticks? You know, the chopsticks are this big that they use when they cook and everything. So what if those come through the screen, right? Because then it's long enough to get at it. You know?
Well, one asked me, he said, you know, you have to make such a nice offering for Radha and Krishna, but for my own health, I just eat sweet potatoes. Will he accept that?
Will he accept sweet potatoes?
Just a sweet potato with no salt. If Krishna is used to have such opulent Krishna.
It means you put the sweet potato and put a little thing with salt on the side, you know. Is there anyone else there? They're alone.
Yeah.
They're alone. There's no one else to eat anything. Then you offer the sweet potato, put some salt on the side.
Yeah. And it's a big concern for them.
Yeah, or make something else and then put it out on the oh no, they don't have birds in China. I was going to say the birds could eat it. You know, no birds. Yeah, but that's what you can do. See, what you can do is like this. Put the sweet potato, and even if it's a matter of what you're going to do with the salt, in the mind, think of all the nice things you would like to offer to Krishna.
Yes.
And then like that, all the different preparations and, you know, the salt also and all that kind of stuff.
And then the next day you see she goes to say this whole thing. Getting inspired.
Yeah. And so like that. So every offering just offers some nice, nice stuff. He says like that Nityananda Trayodasi where Jamuna Devi, because she couldn't cook, so she offered 108 preps to Nityananda Prabhu and went through each one and how
in
it was.
Her mind.
Yeah. So the whole point is that you have that Brahmin from, where was he from?
South India.
Yeah. And then he would... Yes. So that I would say is combine it. Is only offer, it means physically on the plate, put your sweet potato, and then however you're going to eat it. But then in your mind, offer all these other things. And then, you know, everybody's happy. You know? And point is doing nice like that, she'll find her sweet potatoes even better. These are fun. Some of these guys, I mean, this one's a new one, but some of the other ones, they go back so many years. You know, people have had these questions since they were a new devotee. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. 2.19.186.187. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Besides the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. That's interesting. Disaster. Because you say when it's really, everything's really bad, this is a disaster. Right? So, that's why it's so nice that the different translations. But when you're doing, like you were saying before, the analysis, they go in with that modern academic kind of thing, then it blows their mind that why is it so different? Why can't it? No, it's this. And they'll pick one of them. And then when they use it, it doesn't come out. It doesn't work. But the point is no, it has all these features, depending on how it's applied. Footnote 36. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.116. In addition to the five direct mellows, says, besides the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. In addition to the five direct mellows. Oh, it just got. Seems that it got quoted twice.
Let me check the original verse from
that. Oh,
yeah. Because it's just the same thing. That one it says in addition, the other says besides.
Yeah, and list them again. And list them again.
Yes, yes.
Actually, the first one is in the Sanskrit form, other one is the Bengali form. The second one is in the Bengali language.
Oh, okay. So it means he quoted the shlok and then translated. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Hasya, Adbhuta, Vira, Karuna, Raudra, Bhaya, and Bhibhatsa. The seven indirect mellows are explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.16. The Hasya Bhakti Rasa, laughing devotion, is explained as follows. When, through devotional service, a laughing attachment to Krishna is developed, it is called Hasya Bhakti Rasa by learned scholars. Similarly, Adbhuta Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.21. When one's general attachment is fixed in wonder, it is called Adbhuta Bhakti Rasa. Vira Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. This one even has Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.31. When attachment to Krishna mixes with the bellicose tendency, the charitable tendency, or the merciful tendency in the heart of the devotee, such devotion is called Vira Bhakti Rasa. Karuna Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. 4.41. When one's devotional attitude and attachment to Krishna is mixed with lamentation, it is called Karuna Bhakti Rasa. Similarly, Raudra Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.51. Then if you're putting the BRS of all of them, Then that first one didn't get. Oh no, because he gave the full name. Okay. Raudra. When devotion is mixed with anger in the heart of the devotee, the taste is called Raudra Bhakti Rasa. Bhayanaka Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. 4.61. When devotion is mixed with fear, it is called Bhayanaka Bhakti Rasa. Bibhatsa Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.71. When one's attachment for Krishna develops in an abominable way, and the devotee enjoys it, it is called Bibhatsa Bhakti Rasa. In conclusion, when a pure devotee is situated in any of the five principal mellows, Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, or Madhura, and that mellow is mixed with one or more of the seven indirect Bhakti Rasas, Hasya, Adbhuta, Vira, Karuna, Raudra, Bhayanaka, or Bibhatsa, the indirect mellows become prominent. Right. Yeah, because that was discussed before, is that you have the main, but when that one's being tasted, it comes up and takes the promise. It's not that the main rasa disappears. You know, so like in, let's say, the demons, they might have that anger or this, but they don't have anything else. They don't have a primary rasa, they just have that aspect. And so the other, it may come up for a moment for something in the pastimes, and then it will go back again. Mm-hmm. Is that... No?
Yeah. Also, in Brahma Samhita, that verse, Roda Kama Sahajapara, it mentions both primary and secondary.
Okay.
So it doesn't conflict as such.
Yes, because it's just that you always have the one primary, and then you have that because you don't have the others. And then the secondary, then one will come up, and it'll be in there like that, and then it'll go. So some acharyas, though it's a rasa, it's described basically, it acts like a vyabhichari, like that. But though it's not a vyabhichari, because it has its rati, it has everything like that. Well, the vyabhicharis will just be the flavors that are coming and going within another taste, like that. Yes?
Regarding the Bhishma Deva, so Bhishma Deva had this Veera Rasa with the Lord.
Right.
But then he's the devotee. So what was the, primary rasa in which he was related to the Lord?
His servant.
Servant, like, yeah. Rasa. Right. So here it is written that when attachment to Krishna mixes with the bellicose tendency, what is bellicose tendency?
Bellicose, that fighting spirit. Yeah. Okay. 2.19.188.189. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The five direct transcendental mellows of devotional service are permanently situated in the heart of the devotee, whereas the seven indirect emotions appear suddenly under certain conditions and appear more powerful. Examples of Shanta Bhaktas are the nine Yogentras and the four Kumaras. Examples of devotees in Dasya Rasa are innumerable, for such devotees exist everywhere." Srila Prabhupada. The nine Yogendras are Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalayana, Avihotra, Dravida, Drumila, Chamasa, and Karabhajana. The four Kumaras are Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat Kumar, and Sanatana. The servant devotees in Gokul are Raktaka, Chitraka, Patraka, and so on. In Dwarka, there are servants like Daruka. And in the Lord's pastimes in the material world, there are servants like Hanuman. That means this, he means when he performs pastimes here, then Hanuman. So it appears like Prabhupada in one place mentions that Arjuna is always in his pastimes when he performs them in the material world.
Yes.
But where Krishna is the spiritual world. So he's always with him on that transcendental platform. But he always is his companion in Nara Narayan. They're always together in the material world. So it appears Hanuman is always in the pastimes here.
Yes.
Like that.
In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Kokumar, when he goes to Dwarka in Vaikuntha, he sees the Pandavas there.
Yes, but what will they be doing there?
Same serving.
Yes, no, but catch what's the difference is that. Is Arjuna going to be pulling out his bow and defeating all the demons and demigods? That'll only happen here.
Oh.
So they'll be there, and just like Hanuman will be there in the spiritual world in Ayodhya, but then he's just there rendering some service. But to do his Hanuman stuff, he does that here. Same with Arjuna doing his things. He does that here.
Otherwise, I was very confused, didn't know what to say.
No, because otherwise, then, you know, it means they're eternal associates and all that. It means this. I've even heard it said that, you know, Hiranyakashipu is there in Vaikuntha serving, the Lord and everything like that. But these pastimes, they're down here, that kind of thing. But you see, is the pastimes that the gopis do here and the cowherd boys and that are the same they do there. But in the Vaikuntha Wallas, then they won't have that aspect. You know,
so like the Pandavas and Bhishma, and they're all in Dwarka?
Yeah, they'll all be there. But it means they're connected with Indraprastha,
yes.
Which is like a suburb of Dwarka. So it's there, and it's in that circle, that mandala. But you know the pattern may come in and out and things like that. Bonding bond. What
he said that they were in the court when he visited. That's what it says.
Yes.
It doesn't say that they leave exactly in Dwarka.
Yes. So they're part of the scene, but they're from Indraprastha, and so it's just like it's known, just like Krishna's in Vrindavan, it's known, and you know all these things. So yeah. 219, 190, 197. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "In Vrindavan, examples of devotees in fraternity are Sri Dhamma and Sudhamma. In Dwarka, the Lord's friends are Bhima and Arjuna. In Vrindavan, the devotees in parental love are Mother Jashoda and Father Nanda Maharaj. And in Dwarka, the Lord's parents are Vasudeva and Devaki. There are also other superior persons who are devotees in parental love. The chief devotees in conjugal love are the gopis in Vrindavan, the queens in Dwarka, and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. These devotees are innumerable. Attachment for Krishna is divided into two categories. One is attachment with awe and reverence, Aishwarya Jnana Misra, and the other is pure attachment without reverence, Kevala. So pure attachment, so even you have within the pure devotion, then you also have a pure attachment and a mixed attachment. Because so pure attachment means you're attached to the person. The other features of Brahman and Paramatma aren't important in your relationship. They may be there, but they're not important. But then in Aishwarya Jnana Misra, in Dwarka and Vaikuntha, then these aspects are mixed in. That this aspect of the Lord is important. So it flavors the thing. So even within pure devotion, and that therefore pure unalloyed devotion. That's why pure unalloyed means kevala. It's not mixed with these other features.
Kevala bhakti.
Yes, kevala bhakti. Okay. This will stop here. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.